All right, well, let's get started. It's 5 past according to my clock. So, Bart, if you want to start taking through everything, that would be fantastic.
Sorry, could you repeat again?
I just said it's time to start, so if you'd like to start taking us through everything, that would be fantastic.
Okay, I'll do that. So, first of all, I sent you 2 documents, the redline version and a clean version, with the updates, including the discussion, I hope, a recording of the discussion from 2 weeks ago. What I propose is just to go through the redline document to show you, see what the changes are and if there are any comments on these changes or these notes that we briefly discuss them and adopt them. And then we continue where we stopped last time, so that is with decision 3, unless somebody wants to continue the discussion with regard to the language. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. But what date did you send that stuff out?
Monday. Last Monday.
I'm done with it then. It's very strange. I know I got it. I just can't find it.
Oh, that's not very good.
Does everybody else have it?
They should have.
All right, well, Bart, you just carry on. In the meantime, I'll try and find it.
Yeah. So what I've done is, with regard to the overarching principles, I've included a note that, say, the working group adopted the principles on the 22nd of September call, and the other one. And what I've done is included some comments of the working group with regard to the IDN, to the overarching principle, the IDN CCTLD strand should be non-contentious within the territory. So the note that is included, or that in fact 2 notes, is one, demonstration of non-contentiousness within the territory will be further elaborated as part of the discussion on processes. Parameters for such a process are a sufficient minimum is needed in support. Unanimity is not required. The relevant government public authority needs to be involved as a key factor, has to be taken very seriously. This is a quote from, current language regarding the delegation process and redelegation process. And at the minimum, express its non-objections. The process should allow minorities to express a concern, i.e. should not be used against the legitimate concerns of minorities. The process should not allow a small group to unruly delay the selection process. So that was what I took away from the call from 22nd of September regarding the non-contentiousness within the territory. Are there any comments on this bit of the summary of the call?
Bart, this is Manan.
Yeah.
If you allow me, I just sent the document to the GAC list, and I started receiving some questions yesterday, to which I tried to answer in light of our discussions, the recording of the previous call. So I haven't heard back from those who have asked the questions yet. So I'm just saying that I might come back with a little further question or something within the coming couple of days. Otherwise, I'm confirmed that everything was adopted by the GAC also.
Okay. Yeah. So what I'll do with regard to this note is I'll leave it, say, as it is, say, not as adopted yet, so we can revisit it at the next call if necessary.
That sounds fine,
okay,
Bart.
I'll try to confirm this also interprofessionally if we don't want to wait for another call.
Yeah, if that's possible, but then it will be included in the next version. If there are still some questions, then I'll leave it open for discussion.
Okay.
Yep. The second change was an application for a string in the same language and for the same territory could be considered competing, and bow strings could be considered to be contentious entirety depending on the circumstances. For instance, if both are supported by a different branch of government. In principle, this needs to be resolved in territory before any further steps are taken in the process. So that's, again, one of the parameters for the process.
Right.
Yep. So
that's, so that's the second paragraph of your note.
Art, this is Avery. Yeah, Avery.
I wanted to ask a question on the previous thing and didn't get my mouth moving in time. Did you mean unruly or unduly delay?
Yeah, maybe it's unduly is a better word. I'll change it.
That's the word.
So I've changed that. Then the note, the aspects of a support endorsement is included in Section 4, Decision 4, so we revisit that bit as well. So that was with regard to the discussion on the over, say, the IDN string should be non-contentious, so I'll leave it open until confirmation by Manal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep. Then we go on to the, say, what I've done as well is the IDN CCTLD strong must be a meaningful representation of the name of a territory. I've included that in the section 3 as confirmed by the working group.
Mm-hmm.
So the discussion on that one is closed for the time.
Okay.
And the third one was... say the decision or decision two, the meaningful representation of the name of the territory must be in an official language of the territory. The notes I have included is note one, the term official language causes confusion, in particular if an administrative process in country is in place to grant a special status to a language, albeit that language would not be granted the status as official language. The example of Sweden was discussed in particular that over time additional languages were designated for administrative purposes. Under three above, additional IDN strings would be possible, assuming all other criteria are met.
Right.
So that's a refinement. And note two was the question arose whether the working group should also focus on script requirements. It was, however, noted that the script requirement naturally flows from the adopted definition of an IDNC section 2 and would also be part of the discussion on IDN tables, and therefore to focus this part of the discussion on languages is a logical approach. So that was the end of the discussion last week.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments on these notes? No? Thank you. What I haven't included, and I've been thinking about the term official language, it is just a suggestion, and maybe it's too early to discuss it in this group, but what I will do is, if you agree, I've been thinking of another net term for official language, something like a designated language, because the criteria designated language that could be used for the string, because I think the term official causes confusion because of, by its nature.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if you want me to include something like that, so I can rewrite it to include designated as well.
I think we should have as few terms as possible. And I think it's a good thing to not use the term official, because people, as you say, Bart, is asking what you mean by official.
Yeah.
In some legislation, you do have official language, in some you don't. So if it is the case, so I would say either you keep official and you explain that term, or you change the term, but then I think you should change all over to something else that you explain. But I think introducing multiple terms will make things even more confusing and maybe not clarify much.
No, that's true. No, but what I intended to do, say, as a starting point, because this is the first criteria where we've used official language, say, if you agree with the term designated language, to avoid this confusion, that overall, through the whole document, we start to use designated language.
How would you define designated language? And if you were defining it somewhere, would part of its definition include official language? So I'm not sure that you solve a lot.
I think the best part to do it is the language is that is in, say, just above the list of 1, 2, 3. The language is considered to be a designated language if one or more of the following requirements is true. The language is listed for the relevant territory as an ISO 639 language in Part 3 of the Technical Reference Manual. The language is listed as an administrative language for the relevant territory in ISO 3.1, and the third one is the relevant public authority in a territory confirms that the language is used in official communications of the relevant public authority and serves as a language. So the only thing you do is change the term official, because this is the definition what is considered to be an official language.
Got it. Thanks.
So what I'll do is, so in the next version for the next week's call, I will include the term designated, so you can see what its impact will be.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
Yep. Okay. That were the notes from the previous call. So what I'll do is, saying the updated version, as I said, I will include that definition. And I think we're now ready to start the discussion on decision three. I'll read it for you. So decision three, if the string applied for is not the long or short form of the name of a territory, then evidence of meaningfulness is required. Combining criteria one, so that's above context, combining the above criteria, the selected string is considered to be a meaningful representation if the selected string is a long or short form name of the relevant territory in the official language in the UNGEGN Manual Part 3, Column 3 and 4. If the selected string is not listed, then meaningfulness should be adequately documented. This is the case when, one, the selected string is not part of the long or short form name of the territory in the UNGEGN manual, in the official language, or an acronym of the name of the territory in the official language, or the territory or the official language do not appear in the UNGEGN manual. If such documentation is required, the documentation needs to adequately authenticate the meaning of the selected string in the official language and English, and that it meets the meaningfulness criteria. The documentation needs to be provided by an internationally recognized expert. So this is the combination of the two criteria above, and so what we've done in preparation of this document, because we didn't know how the discussion on official language would turn out, is we split the two, and this goes back to the definition under the fast track as well. So that's the background and the decision three, and the floor is open for discussion.
Now, that text as it's currently written is the text from the fast track, isn't it?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah.
Right.
And we haven't changed the criteria of meaningfulness, and we haven't changed, the official language criteria. Quote unquote, is still there. So.
Okay. So does anybody want to?
Yeah, Manal.
Sorry, Manal. Yes.
Yes. Just two quick questions.
Manal, it's really hard to hear you. Can you try and speak up a bit?
Sure. Is this better?
Yes.
In bullet number I, the selected string is not part of the long name. Is this the same language we had in the first text?
Yes.
Part?
Yeah,
it could be a generic part of the name, like United, like Republic, like...
No, not unless it's meaningful, Manal.
Yeah.
We are safe even though we have the word "spot" here. This is what I'm just trying to check.
Manal, may I? The number one is a special case of, say, if the selected string is not listed, then meaningfulness should be adequately documented. And this is the case, and this goes to one. And this is only the selected string is not part of the long or short form name of the territory in the UNGEGN manual. So this is a condition when adequate documentation of meaningfulness is required.
So this should be covered by the adequate definition of meaningfulness, which would then won't be applicable. If it is a generic word. Okay, I mean, this answers my question.
Yep.
The other question is, would this allow, for example, for Thailand, for example, to register Siam? I mean, is meaningful here has to do with the name itself or also famous names of the country or well-known names of a certain country? And excuse me for using this example. I cannot think of other examples. But is my point clear? Or?
Yes, it's clear, Manal. But what I mean, I think the answer is no. What do you think?
At the end of the day, it is a matter of, say, if an international recognized expert thinks this is an official name, or it is the name of the territory in an official language, then yes. But then it's really stretching, and the question is, how do you, either you set conditions on the internationally recognized expert?
So let's just be clear here. What we're talking about in decision three is a series of steps. The first thing is that the string applied for is not the long or short form of the name of the territory, right?
Yeah, as listed in the UNGEGN manual.
Right. So in the case of the Netherlands, Bart, Holland is not the long or the short form of the name, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So combining the selected string, for the selected string to be considered meaningful, it's got to be the long or short form. If it isn't, then the meaningfulness needs to be documented, right? So in the case where the selected string is not part of the long or short form name of the territory, so that would be Holland, yeah?
Yeah.
So that means that there needs to be documentation from an internationally recognized expert to say that dot Holland, and I know we're talking in English here, but let's not worry about that for the moment, that dot Holland is a meaningful representation of the Netherlands.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So if you take in the UN list, is German, French is listed, isn't it, in the UN list?
Yeah.
And the French name for the Netherlands is Pebar.
Yes.
And is German listed?
No, I don't think so.
And what's the German name for the Netherlands?
Niederlanden.
Niederlanden, exactly. So if everything else was allowed, just ignoring all the other barriers, if Niederlander was acceptable from the point of view of it being an IDN because of the language situation in German, etc., German being a language in Netherlands that fits into the criteria, the Netherlands would have to get an independently recognized expert to do a report that said that Niederlander is a meaningful representation of the Netherlands in German.
Yep.
Okay. Manal, does that make sense to you now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So, excuse me. So if you combine this two, this is still the same criteria as under the fast track.
Sure. Okay.
Are there any other questions?
This is Manal again, boss. I know it's the same text, but I just wanted to make sure that it covers the little bit flexibility that is added by the CPT, because the fast track was really the very straightforward thinking. So I was just trying to make sure that the same language would allow for whatever we would like to allow for the CPT.
No, and I think that say because we've combined the two criteria, it is the same language. I think you allow for the same leeway as under the fast track, or the same rigidity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is nice.
Music and children. It's a wonderful thing. Are there any other comments on decision three, or can we perhaps move on? Before we do, Bart, do you think that there's more work need to be done on fleshing out decision three?
I think it depends a bit on say what in principle I would say no, if you accept decision one and accept decision two, this is the logical consequence of it.
Yes, but what I mean is, the question that where we end up is a situation that, if such documentation is required, it needs to authenticate the meaning and the meaningfulness, and it needs to be by an internationally recognised expert. The question we need to ask ourselves is, are we prepared to leave the detail of that to implementation, or would we like to flesh out some of the detail in the policy? Are you able to provide us with a note of what the current detail is in the fast track?
Yes, no problem at all. I will include it, but I'd say that's why what I suggest is we do this in the process bit. So
yes.
And maybe in the process bit come up with, if required, but that's up to the working group, and if already they want to include some documentation or forms of documentation.
I agree with you, but I think it would be useful just to help us make that decision when the time comes, if there was a note included of what the current implementation process
is. Yes, I will.
Okay.
And I will also add the note that, say, it's up for the working group to discuss in next phase.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So that then, if it's everybody happy if we move on to number four now? Okay, cool. So decision four says, assuming the IDN CCTLD string will be selected in territory, the involvement of the relevant actors in the territory in the selection process should be adequately documented in a comparable manner as required for a CCTLD delegation request. Now, Bart, I've got a couple of things to ask and questions to ask before I open up for discussion. So first of all, why would you say assuming the IDN string will be selected in territory? It will be, won't it?
That's a process decision still. We still have, say, one of the process decisions or one of the pending decision is, and we still have to answer this, is do we want to go for a list or not? So
I'm sorry. You're the distinction here is only whether it's designated or whether it's selected.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's not clear, because it implies that the string could be selected outside the territory, and it can't be. It could be designated if we decided to have a mandated list.
Yeah.
But so I think we just need to try and clear that up.
Yeah.
Now, the problem I see with this, leaving aside whether it's selected or mandated for a moment, the problem I see with this is the next bit, which says the involvement of the relevant actors in the territory in the selection process should be adequately documented in a comparable manner as required for a CCTLD delegation request. And the problem is that there is no adequate documentation in the CCTLD delegation request to rely on. It simply says, does it not, local internet community and government.
Yep.
And we have absolutely no, and local internet community is different in different places. Some governments will argue, and listen, some governments will say that they represent the local internet community. Other governments will say that they have a designated organizations in their country which represent the local internet community. So there is no hard and fast rule.
No, there isn't.
So it's quite hard for us to try and figure out how you deal with this.
In a sense, yes, but in a sense that is, I fully agree with you, but say, if you say the fast track, and that's why the language is as it is, under the fast track, the assumption was there was a practice for CCTLD delegation which could be used for the, to say, that similar type of process could be used for the selection of a string in territory.
But can I just, yes, I agree with that, but surely is this not really just overarching principle whichever one it is, the IDN CCTLD string should be non-contentious within the territory.
Yes,
this is effectively the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a refinement. That's why I referred, say, my second note on contentiousness, the aspect of support endorsement is included in Section 4, Decision 4, so this is the one.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm wary about creeping IANA principles and processes. The IANA principles and processes can comfortably stay in the bits that they're meant to be in.
Yeah.
Which is once you get past the point where you apply for a delegation, and we can deal with any changes to those IANA principles and processes separately in our delegation and redelegation working group and so on.
Yeah.
But what I don't want is to bring, I don't think it's wise to bring IANA principles and processes into this earlier stage of the IDN CCTLD thing, because all it does is it gives, well, it might be taken to mean that IANA, A, that IANA should be involved, which it shouldn't be.
No, yeah.
And B, that a change to the IANA principles would automatically mean a change to the principles at this point, and I'm not sure that that's right.
Yeah. That's the consequence of having this rule. Say, the alternative would be, say, if you agree, either you do it here or you do it later on in the processes bit, is that you start to, in the policy itself, that you include something, who needs to be involved in the territories, and
yeah,
what type of documentation is required from those groups.
Or you don't, and you just leave it as a principle that it should be non-contentious.
Yes, but then say, from an implementation side, I know that will take quite some time to get this sorted.
Sure. Manal, do you have any thoughts on this? Because I know this specific point was of relevance to you in Egypt. Have we lost Manal?
Yeah, she got disconnected.
Oh, okay. Okay. Hopefully she'll be back in a minute. Does anybody else want to comment on Decision 4? So I've basically spoken so much that nobody else wants to talk about it. Okay. But I'm tempted to take it out because I don't think we need it. B, I don't think it's helpful.
Yeah, that's fine. And I'd say, especially given, say, the elaboration of the principle itself, and we will address this again in the process bit.
Okay. Well, let's
I think what we need to do and state is something, because there is this expectation why it's taken out, but I'll include something in the notes.
Yeah, just take it out for now, and then we can work out what to say around it. So was somebody else trying to talk then?
Hi, this is Ari. I wanted to ask a question, and it's purely, if you take it out as a decision, and I understand why you want to take it out as a decision, because you think it follows directly from your principles,
yeah,
does it still need to be somehow in there informationally?
Well, the problem we've got, yes, it may well be, Avery, but the problem we've got is that as it sits right now, it's so meaningless as to actually likely to do more damage than to do good, and I'm and what we need to decide is whether, it seems to me that there are really two choices here, two alternatives rather, one choice, which is that we could simply leave it fluffy as a principle and say that it should be non-contentious on the one hand, and I know we've added some additional words and meats to the non-contentious principle on the one hand. On the other hand, we could get into what does it actually mean, and that concerns me, and it concerns me because what I don't want to be doing is doing work specifically for IDN, CCTLD identification of endorsement, if you like, from the territory, which could be taken to be work in respect to the IANA stuff on redelegation and delegation, because we have a specific working group dealing with that.
Is Chris, and I think yeah. a third alternative is you start from a clean slate and say and that is putting even more meat on say the parameters. Say this is the type of documentation that is required.
Yeah.
So make it more prescriptive. And then leave it out of, and don't refer to the delegation process at all.
You're right. I mean, we need to think it's perfectly legitimate to do it in the IDN CCTLD context because it's different from the ASCII CCTLD context, because we're only, in the ASCII context, we're talking literally about two letters that you get told you're going to have.
Yeah, and that's just the defined mechanism. Yeah.
Exactly, and there is no reason, therefore, to have anything to do with relevant actors in the territory endorsing the .au.
Yeah.
But quite clearly, you need that with where you're going to have a selection mechanism, you've got to have some sort of overarching principle. It's a political issue, and we're not going to solve it on this call. As to whether it's, as I said, whether it's better to leave it as a statement that simply says it's got to be non-contentious, or whether you put in detail.
Yeah, but I agree. It's say if you just go either you do with detail or you leave it open. But leaving it open will mean that there will be implementation issues.
Sure. Yeah, I know. Well, can we take it out and put a note in that says that implementation of the overarching principle and implementation issues arising from the expanded overarching principle need to be carefully considered.
Yeah, and what I could include as well, say at this stage, just to recap, say in the updated version, recap, say the concerns expressed on this call. So if others are there, then we revisit this one on the next call again.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Avery, I'm conscious I haven't answered your question, but does that help in any way?
Yeah, no, I think it's kind of really just asking a question and not making a point.
Okay, fair enough.
Is Manal back on the call?
Are we able to? Did we dial her in, or did she dial in?
She should be back on the call, according to Christina.
Manal, are you there? Manal, if you are there, we can't hear you.
According to the operator, she's on the call.
Right.
Yeah. But well, I think this is
either on mute or she's got...
Yeah, she's been taken out by the operator and see if she can be redialed in again.
All right, fine.
So, but say, I think with the notes we will include in the next version, say we need to revisit it, and this will provide an opportunity for the others as well. Shall we move on to decision five?
Yes, this is the tough one now.
Yeah, yeah. Decision five. I'll read it so everybody's clear. Decision 5, only one IDN CCTLD string per official language. in the event of more than one official language in the territory, one unique IDN-CCTLD string for each official language may be selected, provided the meaningful representation in one official language cannot be confused with its existing IDN-CCTLD string for that territory. And I've included in, or we've included in brackets, IDNC working group language was, in the event that there is more than one official language in the territory, it may be possible for the territory to use the fast track for the delegation of one IDNC-CTLD in each of those languages. Note that other requirements on non-confusability with, for example, other TLDs exist in the other in other decisions in this document.
Right. So, who'd like to talk about that principle, decision, thought? Okay, good. Well, in that case, that's decided. Let's move on to the
I think, let me take on my headset here.
Yeah.
There, there's a little bit better. So, I think the problem here is that people try to wrap their brains around all different kind of non-confusability requirements that are there, and it's in the document as a whole. And do we really have to talk about confusability at all in this paragraph?
Okay, Patrick, I think can I? No, maybe we don't. So can we? And I think you're right. It's very complicated and probably needs to be dealt with somewhere else.
Yeah.
Can we just deal with the simple question of is it one only? Now, given that this was the barrow that I pushed in the IDN fast track very strongly, and given that my personal opinion is still the same, which is it should only be one, let me say why. And it's simply because of what I believe a CCTLD is, which should be an authoritative representation of the territory or the country. I acknowledge and accept that if you speak a different language or use a different script, then you might need to be in that language or that script to be authoritative. But the concept that you would be able to have .au, .australia, .aussie, .oz, all as CCTLDs, strikes me as being nonsensical, because it moves away from what I believe a CCTLD is supposed to be.
Okay, good. So if we then remove that, let me add something to what you just said. If we remove and try to, at this point in time of the discussion, not think about the confusability, instead talk about the mapping, the one-to-one mapping between language and IDN CCTLD. It is a fact that there are languages in the world that are written in multiple scripts, for example, in Eastern Europe, that are written both in Latin and in Cyrillic. I don't have enough knowledge about whether they write their name of the country in both scripts, but it's absolutely not a one-to-one mapping between language and scripts.
So can I stop you there for a second, and can we deal with that specific point, because I want to make sure I understand you correctly. If that's the case, then what you're saying is that there are places that use the Cyrillic script to speak their language, to write their language, and they also use the Latin script to write their language, ASCII effectively to write their language. My response to that would be, if that's the case, they're perfectly well catered for, because in Latin script they have their existing two-letter code, which is perfectly understandable to them because it's using two letters that they understand.
Okay. That is, it's Bulgaria, I think it is, that I'm thinking of. But what I'm saying is that I don't know enough about all languages and scripts in the world to know whether there are other examples where one of the two scripts is not Latin.
Sure.
So I'm just a little bit nervous that a rule like this forces a country to pick one script for the language that they so far has been using two scripts for that language. And no, I'm not talking about .au and Aussie or whatever. I'm really talking about real cases when one language is written in two different scripts.
Well, the only one I'm aware of where that actually exists is Chinese.
Or Japanese.
No, what two scripts in Chinese? I don't. What two scripts in Chinese?
Well, they say it's traditional and simplified are two different scripts.
No, that's one script.
Well, this is where it starts to get complicated, and you and I have had this discussion on numerous occasions, and I know that you're the expert and you're right about this. They have chosen, have they not, to create a language table or a script table where traditional Chinese is treated as a variant of simplified Chinese in that table. Is that correct?
I agree, but their problem...
But they could have two separate...
Yes, but if we go to... If we follow the definition of languages and scripts, they want to have two different strings in the same script and same language. What I'm talking about is the case when you have one string in one language that actually exists in two different scripts.
Okay, and I understand that.
Which is a different case. Yep.
I understand. But can we just go back to China for a second, because maybe it isn't a different case. It's correct, isn't it, that, and again, I appreciate this is a very fine argument, and it's hard to have, because it's all about definitions. But it is possible, isn't it, that China could have actually produced two tables if they'd chosen to, one using simplified Chinese and one using traditional Chinese. And if they had done that, then that would count as two separate script tables, wouldn't it?
No, they are two different language tables, but it's still the same script. So what they have is that they have specific rules for registration, where they say that you can only pick one of these two. But the language tables, for me, has nothing to do with the actual
definition
of a TLD string.
Who says it's the same script?
The definition of script, according to the Unicode Consortium, where we pick, where when you look at a character and you see, what script is this? You will get the same response whether the character is a traditional or a simplified Chinese character.
Fine. That's fine. So what we're talking about is a circumstance where, and let's just use the Latin example because it's easy to understand, is a circumstance where the same language is written in two different scripts, yeah?
That is correct, yes. And I think the easier way of resolving this is to try to really get our hands on a language expert that can tell us whether that exists in any other cases than when Latin is one of the scripts, for example, in Eastern Europe, between Latin and Cyrillic. Maybe we don't have any such, but I don't know, and I don't know languages well enough.
Okay. So, Bart, can we make a note of that and see whether we can perhaps do something about that?
Yep.
And find the answer out. And, Patrick, can I, for the sake of this discussion, just for the moment, can we just assume that there is no other example, and if there were, it would be possible to actually say what it was and to excise it as an exception.
I'm absolutely fine with that. So what I'm talking about here is that I'm nervous that the rule is too strict, and when you talk about someone that has like an official language, maybe when they actually have picked an official language and, note, one name, it might be the case that is written in two different ways. And that is sort of a different, non-formal way of explaining the Chinese example, where they actually have one official name of the country in one language, but they actually write it in two different ways, in simplified and traditional.
But apart from all of that, the question is, Are we comfortable that it should be one string per official language? As a general principle, leaving aside a small number of exceptions that exist. Right. Is anybody uncomfortable with it being one string per official language? Subject to all of the caveats about confusability, etc. Is anybody uncomfortable? Okay, but can you then in the notes, document that that's what we think of this call and see what response we get from the list?
Yep. So it's just to be clear, so I get it right, we want to have a language expert to consult if there are cases where you have one language and two scripts.
Yes, where one of those scripts is not Latin.
And one is non-Latin. Because of
no, sorry. Where is there any case where Latin is not one of them? That's the way to put it.
Yeah.
Because the only cases we know are the ones where Latin is one of them.
Is not one of them, yeah.
Okay. And then other than that, the overarching... And so subject to A, confusability, technical requirements, and all the other stuff, and subject to B, any specific exceptions that may need to be created, the general principle is that it's one string per official language.
And what I'll do to avoid confusion about the know that other requirements, I'll just make it a very clean decision in that sense, because and I also will include a note that this probably will need to be revisited further down the process when we also start to talk about variant management.
Sure. All right. So that brings us to what is currently labeled decision 6, which is that the selected IDN CCDLD string must meet above. But that's not English.
Yeah, I know.
6, okay. Must meet all technical criteria for an IDN CCTLD string. I mean, that's a given, isn't it? I mean...
It is, but it's...
Patrick, as far as we know, are those the right references?
Can you repeat?
As far as we know, are those the right references? 5890, 5891, 5892, and 5893.
And the normative part of the draft part.
Yeah, I went through, so Bart, when I went through this document, I verified the references in detail.
Yeah.
I haven't checked them again, just took for granted that you didn't make any mistyping.
No, I didn't. Otherwise, I'll check
then,
again.
Then they're okay.
I'll check again.
Right. Is there anybody else on the call like to take Patrick on as to whether these are the right references or not?
Shut up.
Okay, well, let's assume that they are then. Jolly good. Decision 7, that the string cannot be interpreted as any of the elements in it. Okay, someone's going to need to explain what this means. I don't understand it.
It can't be interpreted as a two-letter code.
Don't understand what you mean by that.
This is confusability, right?
Yeah.
This is actually what we're talking about. Yeah. So you have the problems, for example, where you might have two Cyrillic characters that really, really, really is confusable with two Latin characters.
Yeah, P-Y.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or U, R-F, that discussion.
Okay. So what you're saying is that the string... All right. I'm happy for the decision itself to say what it says, as long as there's an explanation underneath that's easy for me to understand.
Okay, I will include an explanation.
There is another detail here.
Yes, hang on a second, Patrick. Hang on, Patrick. Hold on. Avery, you wanted to say something?
I have a question on this one, on its explicit, but the whole cannot be interpreted as is a very loose definition of confusability, and having spent a long time in trenches of confusability, I worry about this one. I worry about, you know, the things that could look like Brazil or others, and the degree to which people say, well, no, it can't be interpreted as, or it can't. So I'm just raising a caution flag that this one it's difficult to say that something cannot be interpreted by. What do you mean? What sort of standards are you applying?
Okay.
Who's determining
that?
That is, I've been in that slump and I've seen traces of how you guys are already in that slump, or
sure.
slump, or whatever it is, and this concerns me looking at it.
Okay. Noted and accepted. We'll get back to this in a second. Patrick, you wanted to say there's something missing or something.
Yes, there are, first of all, to comment on what Avery is saying, I agree with her that there are clarifications that can be added here,
yeah.
And I think I can today, for the fast track, I think Tina has presented a list of how the evaluation is done with an evaluation table, if I don't remember wrongly, that maybe that should be added here or referred to or something. The other part that is that I think is more contentious is the word that is used by, okay. The question here is whether we only talk about the today registered two-letter codes in 3166 or whether we talk about today registered and all future, which means all combinations of two-letter ASCII codes or not. And I don't know what the correct answer is, but it's very darn important that it ends up being exactly what people want.
I think the two-letter, I think all combinations of two-letter ASCII characters have to be protected because otherwise the ISO list becomes compromised because it means that they then suddenly have to check and they're not a block. They don't. You've got to remember they don't assign these codes to be country codes. They assign them for all sorts of other reasons. As well. So I think we have to accept that two characters that look like whatever the right terms are.
Two ASCII characters.
If what you want looks like two ASCII characters, you're stuffed. Because we can't say, oh, well, .zz would be all right, because they're highly unlikely to want to use that. We just have to. We have to block all of that. I think. Does that make sense?
In that
Patrick?
Case, I think it makes absolute sense. It could make sense to say it the other way around as well. The only thing I wanted is that I think the rule must be very clear.
Yeah.
And as it is written now, it's a little bit. It could be interpreted both ways. What that is used by, what that means.
I agree.
It's what I'll do in the next version. I say. First of all, is I'll clarify the language is saying to make it very clear it cannot be interpreted for the time being as any combination of two ASCII characters.
Hmm. Just don't worry too much about what you're actually going to do, Bart. Just agree that you're going to work on it. Send me some suggestions, and you and I between us can probably.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. And then probably what is important as well, this will be need to revisit it because of the interpretation question.
Yeah.
No, I just wanted to make sure I captured everything.
Of course. Yeah. All right. And the last one, can we move on to the last one then?
Yeah.
On the basis we've got more work to do on 7, so there's no point discussing it any further. I mean, the last one seems to me to be a no-brainer. No, it just is. If we make changes to the delegation redelegation process for CCTLDs, then that's changes to apply across the board.
Okay, this is Avery. Did you say there's a no-brainer?
Avery, could you speak a little bit more firmly into your mouth,
okay,
please?
Okay, I
that's
have,
better.
I have a quick question because it was a no-brainer. To current practices, to the then current practices. You don't want to anchor it to today's practices, I assume. So if the practices were to change, you want this to change with them, correct?
Yes.
Right.
It has to because, again, one of the overarching principles is that every CCTLD is the same.
Right. So then you might want to current practices, just, you know, to the then current practices or whatever you're dealing with.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. True. I've included it.
Marvelous.
Noted.
All right. Anything else? Because we've managed to abut 1 hour almost exactly. So,
well,
indeed. All right. So, Bart, you'll send out a document as soon as you can.
Yes, and what say the next time? So we have to revisit them, and I'll start to include some of the process elements as well.
Okay, sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Can I say thank you to everybody for being prepared to be on this call at all sorts of weird times, I know, for Bart and Christina. And is Gabby there, or is it just Christina?
No, it's just Christina.
It's 6 o'clock in the morning, and Avery, I guess it's fairly early for you too. So. Yeah. And Cheryl, it's midnight for you, so it's time you got some sleep.
With your permission. Thank you, sir.
It's my pleasure. Talk to you all soon. Thanks,
everybody. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.